Here now is an exclusive CVBT audio interview on an issue that impacts business and the people who do business here in the Great Central Valley.
Well, you are advising the top leaders in business and other organizations how to stay cool under pressure. Now, other than drinking perhaps Gatorade, what do you have in mind?
Well, you know, stay cool under pressure has been one of the most important factors in delivering top business performance lately. But it's an interesting observation. I find most approaches do not take that into considerations. Like, you know, they say you're either a cool guy and you can handle stress and you can be composed and, you know, stay focused, or you can't. And I found out working with top leaders and also top athletes that this is not a personality trait. That is something that people can learn, people can develop, and it actually is a necessary thing to become amongst the best in the world.
There's an old saying that I remember from a business class a long, long time ago, that if you're cool under pressure, you just don't understand what's going on. But that's not the case, is it?
No, not really. Of course, you know, business acumen and knowing what you're talking about and being able to, you know, perceive and assess current situations is an important skill. There's no question about that. But not getting into panic or not getting nervous or not letting the nerves get into your way when you actually execute and perform is a key skill that I want to bring closer to the readers of my new book.
And tell us about that new book. It has an intriguing title.
Well, you know, it started a couple of years ago when I was coaching some of the top business people all over the world. And I started to realize that, you know, you need to have that skill to really deliver what you're supposed to be deliver, not only when things go well, but you have to have that skill, especially when times are changing, when there's lots of competition, when things are not going the way you imagine they should. And I developed, you know, strategic and systematic approaches. How can people who do not necessarily have that coolness, how can they develop that?
You refer to this as the melting point. Obviously, nothing is meant as something physical, but what do you mean by that?
Yeah, exactly. I call it the melting point because this is the moment that we all have, Doug. It's the moment where it gets too much. It's a threshold when things first, you know, in our perception, in our feeling, we kind of feel it inside of that this is now going to be really, really difficult and maybe a little bit too big for us. And as a consequence of that, we start to raise anxiety. And we don't do that on purpose, of course. It happens with us. We start to melt. And the consequences of melting is that in our behavior, we start to do things that are unproductive. We start to, you know, as leaders, maybe start, you know, micromanage, or we start to behave in certain ways that really do not help anyone around us. And the funny thing is, the people around us struggle to hold up the mirror in that moment because they're kind of worried that if we tell him or her that this is happening, it may be career limiting. So you're a little lonely too in those moments when you're actually melting.
So how on earth do you turn down the thermostat?
Well, one of the key thing is that you understand that this is something that will happen sooner or later to all of us. And by accepting the fact that it's going to happen, you need to understand what's your fundamental psychological constitution. I call that, this is psychology language. But what is meant with it is, like, do you generally have a thick skin? Do you generally can stay cool under pressure, or is it something that really, when something goes wrong, is really not in your favor and you start to be nervous quickly? Once you have identified and diagnosed this, the consequence of that is how systematic you plug in healthy behaviors that will then hold you back from melting down and actually reach your melting point. It's one of the key things.
What would be, for example, a healthy behavior you might recommend?
Well, one of the key things I observe with the clients I work with is in the 24/7 technology, they struggle with disconnecting and they feel they have to be always on. And as a consequence, what they do is they take mobile phones and tablets and everything into their bedrooms. And they, you know, the last thing they do before they fall asleep is checking emails, for example. Now, we know that the backlight of the devices has a significant influence on how well you can sleep. And the fact that you have those devices close to you on your, you know, bedside table, for example, increases the chances that when you wake up at night, which you will most likely wake up when you do emails before you go to sleep, then you check your emails again in the middle of the night, and you become almost a victim of the devices. And as a consequence, you wake up in the morning and you're not recharged and you're not relaxed. And if you put those nights together over a certain period of time, I tell you, your melting point is pretty close.
Well, you have just described my evening last night. I'll keep that in mind. Would you, perhaps now is a good time to ask you for our listeners a little bit about your background. Tell us about that.
Well, originally I started out with my big dream to become like one of the best professional soccer players in the world. And I got pretty close until I had to step down because of injuries. And, you know, Doc, I observed something when I was a professional athlete. I observed that there are players who in practice are not necessarily better than others, but when competition's on and spotlight's on and TV's on, they perform like amazingly well. And there are others where in practice you feel they're pretty good athletes. When the competition came up and it was TV night, they almost disappeared. So what is that factor where some of us show up when they have to, while others with the same skills, technical skills, disappear? That has been something that has fascinated me for the last 15 years. And in the role of, you know, advising top athletes and top executives, I was able to gain more and more insight into this, into that factor that I now call the melting point.
And so you have seen this in professional athletes. They always seem so cool, whether it's on a tennis court, a golf course, or in a team situation. And you have worked with a lot of these. So how are they different than the run-of-the-mill folks like me and maybe one listener?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because you look at it in a certain way. I tell you, there is a big difference amongst athletes too, even the professional ones. And I go as far as saying probably the best athletes around the world have managed to develop that skill to really expand their melting point to the max, while others haven't. And I would say that makes a difference at the end between winning and losing.
When you deal with a client, is it tough to get across to them that they've got a melting point that needs some adjustment?
You know, it takes about 5 seconds and to know exactly what I'm talking about. And I will exaggerate a little bit, but it's something that top performance or highly ambitious people who have to perform at a certain moment anyway, they realize it's there and they know exactly how it feels when you get close to that melting point. And it's a frustrating thing, you know. It's something you understand that theoretically this is something I can really do, but when it comes down to it in that situation, there's something happening in myself that stops me from being my best. And that feeling all great performers understand and know. So it's not hard to talk about that with my clients.
In a business situation, if the leader is having a meltdown, quite often it would seem to be from my experience over the years, a lot of the staff is also at a melting point. How do you deal with it? You try to calm the staff or calm yourself? Which comes first, chicken or egg?
Yeah, and you know, some of my clients ask me, hey, what do you advise me to do? Shall I be authentic in such situations or not? Right. And I always ask them, what does authenticity mean to you? And then they say, well, I, you know, I'm going to project that I'm really nervous and that I'm anxious, and maybe also going into the direction of having a little bit of panicking. And I always ask him, you know, as a leader, what are you there for? What's your job? Is it to be authentic? Is that your job? Or is your job to be leading your people through tough and difficult situations? And I think that answer is pretty clear. You know, you're there to do something good for your people. And if that means, Doug, if that means I need to exercise a lot of self-control and maybe also some learned behavior, you know, I'm more than proud of the people who do that.
You have worked with some of the well-known names in the world of athletics, such as Roger Federer. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, Roger is a dream, you know. Roger, what he has done over his career is you know, I it's hard to find words. And Roger, at a relatively young age, you know, reached out to me and said, can we, you know, I see what you do and I understand what you do. Can we actually develop that also in the world of tennis? And I think it has still been one of his major advantages out there competing to, you know, his current opponents are all 5, 6, 7 years younger. So, you know, sustaining that top performance for Roger, I'm so proud of him. And it's something that is going to be hard to beat for others to come.
Do you are you able to identify when you look at somebody in a stress situation where their melting point is or how close they are to it?
We have developed a certain diagnostic assessment, which allows us to pretty clearly identify how close they are to a meltdown. It's a complex and very comprehensive tool we've developed, but that gives us, in a very short period of time, a very good indication where people stand to the melting point.
For our managers listening to this, they say, it sounds great if I can control my melting point, but what about my staff? Do you go into companies and work with entire departments or something like that?
Yeah. Lots of my, you know, individual client CEOs or, you know, head of departments bring me into their teams and they say, look, this is something I have benefited a lot. Can you do that with my people? And so we offer, you know, programs that are not exclusively for individual people, but we also do programs for teams and departments. So, yeah.
Well, tell our listeners where they can get more information about you and your company and, of course, the book.
Well, the easiest would be to get the book. It's called The Melting Point. And then get more information on our website, which is www.marcoli.com. We have listed everything. We have put everything up there. So if you're interested in us helping you individually, give us a call. Or if you're interested to bring us in to work with your staff, more than happy to help.
What would you like to add at this point that I haven't asked you?
Well, that's a good question because it has been a great and comprehensive interview. I think one thing I wanted to add is that, you know, if as a performer in a relatively early stage of your career, you understand that this is a factor that's gonna make sooner or later make a difference between winning or losing. I think once you understand that and start to develop to have as high of a melting point as possible, it will pay off for the rest of your career.
This has been another exclusive CVBT audio interview. If you found this interesting and informative, please tell your friends where you heard it, and feel free to download the audio for your reference. You are tuned to CentralValleyBusinessTimes.com, the place to go for business news of the Great Central Valley.